Hello, and welcome to the Marketing Times Analytics Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Sofranis, and today I'm on with Jason Physico. Jason, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, first off, thanks for having me. So yes, I'm Jason. I am the founder and CEO of Fizzy. It is a growth marketing agency that is up and coming, and we serve established service-based businesses, anything from high-ticket coaches to high-ticket service providers. And yeah, things are going great. And I'd love to really talk and dive deep into analytics and all sorts of really nerdy stuff that I just love talking about.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I also work in growth marketing, and I'm curious, how did you get started in growth marketing?
Before I even went to college, I knew some people who worked in marketing, and they claimed that at the time they were making six figures a year. I was like, wow, six figures. Like I want to make six figures. That sounds awesome. I was like, wait, so you don't have to be a doctor to make six figures? I just didn't know that at the time. So I went through that path and I was like, I want to get into marketing. How do I do that? So I applied to work at a bunch of agencies. I was like 18. And then everyone turned me down. Hey, okay, go to college. And then I found one agency and we did this weird deal where I said, hey, look, I'm going to work for you for free. You don't have to pay me anything. I'll work as many hours as you need me, but you teach me everything that you know, and I promise you, I will be the hardest worker. So I worked for that agency for 4 months straight. I worked 100-hour weeks, which is really bad now that I think about it, but I learned so much from that, and that skyrocketed into a whole career of working at different agencies and doing freelance on the side. And so for many years, I did these 80 to 100-hour weeks, but I loved it because I was learning. And before even starting Fizzy, I produced over 100 million for my clients. And for a lot of them, I built everything from the landing pages, the backend email and SMS automations. I wrote all the copy. I edited the video ads. I wrote all the scripts. I managed the ads. And after doing that for so many years, I learned, hey, I should probably build a team around this because this could be its own business. And so here I am.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I love how you found a creative way to break into the industry without even having that college degree. Would you have taken the same path now, or knowing what you know now, how would you have done it differently?
I would have done the same thing. I think all this stuff where I worked for people for free, that was where I learned the most by far. I just learned at an accelerated rate. Because when you're at a job and you're being paid, you're expected to do certain things within their parameters because that's what they're paying you for. When it's free, they let you do anything. And when I did that enough times, I literally had founders and CEOs, really smart people who've been in the game for so long, they would just sit down with me after hours and mentor me, coach me, because I wasn't getting paid anything. So I would totally do it again.
That's great. Yeah, actually, my first internship was unpaid as well. Yeah. I was about 18 as well. So yeah, it's just a great way to break in when you don't have that college degree to stand out. So you grew the business. Was it mostly from referrals, or how did the business end up growing?
Yes, my first handful of clients, the only objective was to just really do an amazing service. So I found some great people that I could bring in. And at the time, of course, I couldn't afford full-time staff. I brought in some contractors. I paid them a percentage of every retainer. And then from there, because the service was so good, to this day, we have 3 to 4 clients that are just referring us most of our business. And we're getting 15 to 40K MRR introduced to our company every single month. A new set of MRR every single month is being brought to us just from straight referrals. Like, we're at a point, we're growing so fast that we're spending more of our time trying to find talent than anything else. And we still don't have social media. Up until a few weeks ago, we weren't on podcasts, and we don't really have PR. So we're not doing anything to get clients, but we're getting more than enough business to handle. And it just keeps on growing. It's awesome.
So you say you're focused on quality of service. What are some of the projects that your agency specializes in?
Yes. When people come in, oftentimes their biggest goal is, hey, like we have this like really expensive service or coaching program or course, whatever it is. We want to sell more of it, but we're having so many roadblocks. And then typically they'll tell us, oh, like we worked with other agencies, we haven't gotten results. And so here's our breakdown of the three things that we focus on in our service. Number one, your sales funnel, right? A set of landing pages, right? When you get traffic, whether it's from your social media or advertising, you send them to these landing pages. And the landing pages are aimed at only one thing. It's supposed to give you information and then get you to take an action. Now, because we're in the high ticket space, all of our clients need calls. So the whole point of those landing pages is to give them enough information to get them to go and book a call. And then from there, it's up to their sales team to really close. Our job is to get as many high quality people as possible to book a call. And how we do that is through advertising, Facebook and Google advertising. So that's the other element. So landing pages and then advertising. And we've played with so many things over the years, email marketing, LinkedIn cold outreach, different methods of advertising. Facebook and Google by far is the only guaranteed way, I would say, to get a bunch of high quality leads in such a massive volume. So we have the ads, we have the landing pages. And then the third element, which is also really important, is the email and SMS automations. When you get these people to go on a landing page and you collect their information, the email and SMS automations are what actually get them to take action if they're on the fence. And then the hidden element behind all of that, none of it would work if you don't have good copywriters on staff. So the biggest part of our payroll is copywriting. If the messaging is on point on the ads, the landing pages, and the automations, like, you're just going to completely destroy your competition. So that's the basis of it.
So let's talk about measurement. So when you're talking about the effectiveness of a landing, starting with landing pages, what kind of data are you looking at for success?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different granular data, and that's what our team really excels at, right? And this is where we become nerds. So how it goes as granular as this. Whether we are sending traffic from Facebook, Google, YouTube, when we send them to a landing page, we have a unique landing page for Google, a unique landing page for Facebook, a unique landing page for YouTube. And then we also have a unique form for those landing pages. So we can track, okay, which exact form, which exact landing page, which exact landing page variant, because there's different variants. And then when we plug in our Zapier automations with Google Sheets, we're able to bring in from the UTM data, like everything from which ad variant, which ad copy variant, which targeting sets, demographics, all that, which landing page variant, and then which VSL we use, like the video on the landing page, everything. We're able to get all that really granular. And so we always know what big and small optimizations we need to make at all times. And that is also part of the secret sauce. But what's even more important than that, I'll still say, is copywriting. Because even if we didn't have that data, if all the copy was speaking to the exact pain points of your target audience, we would win anyways. So
that's interesting. Yeah, you don't hear a lot about, there was that Nielsen ad effectiveness study from 2017 that was about how the copy and what you're actually displaying is the most impactful element of online advertising.
Absolutely.
And if you're looking at something like a direct mailing, it's a little bit different. It has more to do with targeting and putting like the right offer in front of the right person to get them to take an action. It's more lower funnel in that sense. So it's really cool that you're describing that what you put in the actual imagery or the text or what you're putting in front of the person that they're reading is what's going to make the biggest difference.
Exactly.
That's great. And are you looking at heat maps at all? I was curious about that. Is that something that you can optimize with?
So we used to use heat maps, but we don't anymore and believe it is not good to use. And here's why. Controversial view, right? Very controversial view in the analytics world. So here's our thing, right? First off, one of the most important metrics when it comes to optimizing landing pages and truly driving up that conversion rate, one of the most important things is the page loading speed, right? I've seen people with beautiful landing pages, beautiful messaging, it's not converting. But when you try to load it on your phone, you're like getting a headache because it takes so long to load. And then one of the ways to see that if you're Facebook advertising is if your cost per landing page view is more expensive than normal, then that's a pretty key indicator that your page is loading too slow. Now, to heat maps, oftentimes a lot of heat map software, and I'm like the big ones, they slow down the page. So that is one of the biggest reasons we don't use it. But another reason is this: when using the analytics to see where people are going in the funnel, we have found that optimizations that we have made despite those analytics are like we still are able to get significant results. Because let me give you an example. We saw in a heat map before that a lot of people were not scrolling below. And so someone might jump to a number of different conclusions. Okay, maybe like the most important information needs to be like pushed higher, right? Like maybe some of this other information we need to push higher. Or maybe we need to do this and then maybe we do that. But when we remove heat maps and we don't look at that, and we just look at like really like a simplified approach, like almost blind, and we look at, okay, let's look at three things first: page loading speed, messaging, and then like general layout on mobile. If we just pay attention to those three things, we get significantly better results than if we spend all of our time on heat maps. So actually, I should have just led with that. but yeah, like just paying attention to those three things, it'll change everything. You don't need any of the extra analytics.
That makes sense. Yeah, pay attention to what matters. And there's a lot of distracting data points out there that don't actually result in as clear of an optimization.
It's distracting, slows down your page. Those two things. So that's why we don't believe in it.
That's great. So what about the rest of advertising when you're looking at Facebook and Google? What are the key, and also for email and SMS automations, what are some of the analytics that you look at around effectiveness for those tactics?
Yeah, Facebook and Google, it's mainly lead quality. And you're getting good lead quality when your close rates are good and when your cost per acquisition is good. That's really all that matters in the front end. And then after that, what really matters in the back end is a little bit of your ROAS, but more so your lifetime value. Are these people coming back to buy more? Are they upselling eventually to your highest ticket products? Because if not, then we'd rather spend a premium. I see a lot of people, they focus on cost per book call or cost per lead. That stuff doesn't matter. If I told you a lead is going to cost you $500, but then that lead has a 40% chance of closing and paying you 25 grand, like you really wouldn't care. So we don't care about that at all. Some of our clients, an opt-in costs as much as $160. And then some of our clients, an opt-in costs as little as $20. But guess what? The client that is paying $160 for an opt-in, like most of those leads, probably like 80% of them, have $60,000 to $500,000 in cash and don't need to finance the program. You know what I mean? So there's so many things to play. And then when it comes to email SMS, another thing that is like really controversial is open rate doesn't matter anymore, because for the most part, it's very proven that open rate is like a misleading KPI. A lot of platforms don't report it correctly. Mm-hmm. So what you have to look at is, one, what is the click-through rate of people who open the email and then click through to the content? That is huge. If you're seeing like 7%, like that's great. Another great metric is if you put initial trackers in the email and SMS sequences so that you can see how many of those people that see that email actually buy, that's another one. Not everyone is able to pull that off, and that is a little bit harder. It's like a little bit more, but you know, it's good.
Wow. And are these, they sound like they're for more mature businesses. If you were advising a startup, would you recommend to go with the same platforms, the same stack you've laid out here?
So I'll say this, because we've helped many businesses too that started like from scratch, where like they weren't selling their product at all. And then they didn't have any marketing system. So all of that had to be built from scratch. I would say this, if that is you, but then you are able to dish out at least $5,000 or more per month on your advertising, I'm saying to Facebook and Google Ads alone, then yeah, Facebook and Google Ads is the best way to go. Now, if you aren't able to dish out $5,000, say you're not even able to dish out $2,000 a month, your best bet is LinkedIn Outreach. There's a lot of automation tools where, you know, your initial message and your follow-up messages are all automated and you just reach hundreds of new businesses every single day. There's that. There's cold email. A lot of cold email services, or if you can do it on your own, they take the leads directly from LinkedIn. They scrape LinkedIn for it. And there's a lot of really cheap tools for that. And then another way, which is the hardest way, but you can do it if you're really extroverted and great on camera, is social media, right? Instagram right now is probably the best tool for that. A lot of people talk about TikTok. Who knows? There's talk about TikTok being removed from the US market. So I'm not going to promote that. So those are some ways.
Yeah. And what about, that makes sense. What about from the B2B and B2C lens, how do the platforms differ that you'd want to advertise on?
In general, like Facebook ads are like pretty dominant, but when it comes to B2B, like Google, YouTube is a little bit different because, right, first off, like Google and Microsoft ads, that's for capturing people who are actively searching for your product or service, right? So of course that is going to win. You're going to get more people with high intent. And the thing too is for certain niches, like we already have it memorized because we've been doing this a while. For certain niches, like if you have an agency or if you have, say, like an Amazon automation service or any kind of service where it's so niche that if you just sent a bunch, like a million people to add, not a lot of them, probably like 20 of them would even fit your demographic. That's where like Google and Microsoft really shine. And so, yeah, it really depends on what niche you are as to which platform's going to work for you best. And we have that dialed in because we work with the same exact types of businesses all the time. We stick to our niche.
What is that niche for the audience?
So it's high ticket coaches. So these are people who sell a coaching program or a course that is worth $2,000 or more. And then also high ticket services. And now when I say that, that goes anywhere from Amazon automation to we're going to build landing pages for you, or we're going to build an email system for you, or we're going to do some copywriting for you. So it's anything like that. I guess a better way to simplify it is coaches and agencies, but like people in the e-commerce space that we help that are selling like some sort of e-commerce service, not a product, they don't identify as agencies. So that's why I say it that way.
Going back to landing pages, When you're thinking about building a landing page, what are some of the common mistakes that people make? And what are some best practices around that?
Some common mistakes people make is, there's a lot, but probably one of the biggest ones is people build the wrong funnel for the wrong thing. Like for our niche, if you're selling anything that's really high ticket and you're trying to book calls, chances are you need a VSL funnel, right? There's an opt-in, there is, and then on the second page, there's a short video, 10 to 15 minutes. Then you click the button, and you get to the third page, and then there's a calendar with a headline. And then the fourth page is just a thank you page, right? That VSL funnel works for 90% of people who need to book calls in order to sell something that is really expensive. Now, and then there's also people who sell services where it requires what is called the consultation funnel, an opt-in page, second page is a calendar page, and then the last page is a thank you page. That's it. And that's for people who are in like home services, like roofing, HVAC, legal services, weddings. Now, and so here's the thing, like one example is we had someone come in and they were just like, man, we're just not getting results. And their funnel was someone opts in, they listen to a 2-hour webinar. And then after that, they have to enter a 3-day challenge. And then after that challenge, they can go and book a call. And they're like, we're just not getting results. And we were just like, we can cut down all those steps. If you just shoot a quick 10-minute video, we'll get you results. And we did. They were like, whoa, my God, like we're getting so many more calls and our close rate is like 25%. And we're like, yeah, I think you guys are like overcomplicating this. And there isn't like an easy way to just learn what is the best type of funnel to use. But that's what like teams like ours are built for. You're not supposed to have to know all that. That's what we do. And then something else that is another really big one, which is probably a tie, is people focus more on design than on messaging. So you've probably seen this too, and as a marketer, there are so many people who are getting away with ugly landing pages, ugly websites, ugly ads, but they are just the top of their market. They're destroying everybody. And people are always like, how are they selling so much of this with such ugly landing pages? It's like, look deeper. It's the messaging. Those two things, if you avoid those, you're probably in a really good spot.
Yeah. I love how simple you're making it. It's important to understand, like, there is an ideal here and everybody's use case is a little different, but you're outlining very important, like, foundational principles. So you're talking about making the user experience really seamless and not wasting time for the person that's interested. And do you do full funnel marketing? Do you do a lot of upper funnel marketing?
Yeah. Are we like building all of it out or?
Yeah. Like when you're buying ads, let's say on Facebook or Google, are you doing the whole like brand awareness, then consideration, and then driving to the lower funnel, or are you focusing more on the lower funnel, mid to lower funnel?
We do that for more established brands that are able to put aside a budget for that. But for smaller brands, we're just about quick conversions. As simple as possible to get users to book a call today or tomorrow. And then the sales cycle is one or two calls in, they close. That's it. And then once they're really established and they're able to put aside a good amount of money, say 10% of their budget for branding, brand awareness and things like that, we can absolutely do that. But yeah, for most people, we avoid that. There is a good need for it. But when people come to us initially, like they're just trying to change it, like the trajectory of their business. Like oftentimes people come to us because they're losing money each month. And then the first thing they want to solve is not losing money. The second thing is scaling. And so the brand awareness will help with the scaling, but we got to get them to break even first. Then as they scale, we can like slowly add more budget to do something like that.
And how do you measure like an upper funnel versus a lower funnel marketing effectiveness?
The most important thing is you want to see that, okay, say you're running video ads, right? You want to see that people are actually like watching those. Then you want to see that you're getting some opt-ins. And then from those opt-ins, you want to see that those people are actually like responding to bait emails. Bait emails could be like something written by the team, which is like an automation that says, hey, did you see that last email, by the way? Or that in the subject headline, hey, not sure if you saw this, but I think you should. Saying things like that, like those bait emails, are people engaging with those? And then from there, are they booking calls? In the back end, we want to see like what I talked about before. Okay, the people who are booking calls, how many of those calls is it where like people are showing up? And then of those calls, like how many people are closing? What does the CPA look like? What is the return on ad spend? And then of course, more importantly, LTV in the back end, how many of those people come back for more to buy more of your product, to upsell, things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Where would you say some of the biggest challenges are? Like which metrics are the easier metrics to optimize versus which metrics are the hardest to optimize?
Oh, that's a good point. Let me think. Easiest, I would say, is probably lead quality. Lead quality as in like close rates and CPA, because like typically the biggest factor when it comes to lead quality is just your messaging. And one of the biggest ways that we can fix that super quick is our client sales teams, or if the client is an individual and they're closing themselves, we'll listen in on those sales calls, on a good amount of them. And then we'll also look at the call notes. And from there, we'll be able to see what is happening. Is it that the people on the phone are not the right kind of people? Or is it that they don't understand the offer? Or is it that they're not sold on the offer itself? And all of the above can be solved with really great messaging. I keep saying this, like messaging, copywriting, because the copywriter's job, when you get a really good one, is to research the hell out of your clients to know what exactly makes their target audience tick. What are the characteristics of that target audience? What do they care about and what do they not care about? If you have someone like that on your team who knows all that and can write really well, like you're going to solve all that. Like an example here is we had an Amazon automation service client, and their packages are anywhere from $60,000 to $120,000. Before we started out with, hey, are you looking to make some passive income? Are you looking to automate your revenue? Are you looking to park your money so that you can make some passive income? That wasn't working. The messaging that we changed it to after hearing a bunch of sales calls was invest as a family and keep the wealth in the family. Another set of messaging that really worked was diversify your portfolio with done-for-you Amazon stores. And then what was another one? Retire as a family with an Amazon portfolio. And the reason why that messaging worked is we found in the back end, a lot of people who were partnering together to buy this service, these were like affluent families where it was like a brother and a sister, a father and a daughter and a mother. And so that family-oriented messaging like changed the game forever. And then we also noticed that a lot of them, not only were they affluent families, but they were actively acquiring like franchises and all sorts of different companies. And we're like, wait, we got to talk to them with their language. Diversify your portfolio. Acquire Amazon stores, things like that. And then, so we went from like in the beginning, upon launch, it was like, what, 60%, 70% no-shows. And we talked to some competitors and they were saying the same things. Oh yeah, it's normal in our industry. 60, 70% no-shows. We went from that to we were getting, our no-shows went down to 30%. And then on top of that, we got it down to $166 for an opt-in. 80% of those people, I'm sorry, 40% of those people were actually booking a call. 40% of the opt-ins booked a call. And then from there, 80 to 90% of those people who booked a call had $60,000 to $500,000 in cash available, which means they didn't need to finance this program. They could buy it, they could buy into it outright and get results right away. And then so we started getting a couple of those every single week. And again, all that was changed was messaging.
So how does that process work? Like looking into the customer and what they resonate with? Is that you mentioned listening into calls that salespeople might have with the prospects?
Yeah.
Is there any research that's done? Is it like a study, like a group study that's done where they're asking questions to potential prospects? Is it research that's being purchased, like research reports on certain customer groups? How is that research actually done?
Yeah, so it's we don't purchase data or anything like that. It's so our game is this, right? We call it the testing phase, especially if they've never ever sold this product before. In the testing phase, we're aiming to book as many calls as possible on the calendar with the targeting and messaging that we think will work well. Then in the back end, the salesperson or whoever is taking the calls will record those calls and then put it into Dropbox or Google Drive. And then our team will go into wherever those videos are, watch those videos at 2x speed, look at the call notes and the bullet points, and then determine trends. After a good amount of calls, you will see a very common trend. And that is, are they not understanding the offer? Are they the wrong kind of people? Whatever it is, but the trends will be night and day. But what it takes is the patience of actually sitting through and listening to those calls, which 99% of marketers don't do. But if you can have the patience to do that, it's so easy to optimize and just know, oh, okay, we need to fix this in the messaging. Cool.
That's very interesting. You're giving me a lot of ideas myself.
Okay. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. I'm curious, would you say marketing has increased in importance for businesses over the last decade, now that we have this very noisy online ecosystem that we previously didn't have? Or would you say it's always had the same importance and just the way that it functions, the actual tactics have changed?
Yeah, in this day and age, you're not even going to have a viable business or a business that doesn't die without marketing. It's biased for me to say that, but anyone who has a business where they are not doing marketing, they know deep down that there is some struggle there. Like I don't know any businesses that aren't actively marketing where like they're having a great time. And it's so important now more than ever to have great marketers, not just anyone to manage your ads, because platforms, all the ad platforms, TikTok ads, YouTube ads, Google ads, Microsoft ads, Facebook ads, there's a concept called ad relevance, where if your ad isn't as relevant to the audience you are targeting, you're going to get outranked by your competitors and you're going to end up paying a premium for the lowest quality leads. And again, that comes down to messaging. If you have someone who gets the messaging right for who you were targeting, your ad relevance will go sky high. And so for all, I wouldn't say all, where a good amount of our Google ad and Microsoft ad clients, because of ad relevance, were able to win and outbid their competitors nationwide, all because of ad relevance. We're getting top impression share, an absolute top impression share, like most of the time. And in a lot of markets, like our clients are just completely dominating everyone. Again, copywriting. And so that's why like the biggest part of our payroll is copywriters. We go all in on copywriters. It is the secret sauce, the secret key to unlocking all the success that you want in your business.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm curious, when you're deciding what you're going to write in that copy, how do you approach offers and incentives and things like that, even gamification? How do you approach that sort of thing? Or do you try to stay closer to just talking about the benefits to the prospect?
I guess it differs niche to niche. So one of the biggest things that helps us is that we stay in such a small niche that we don't need to venture too far out of like things that we have been doing all the time. So it's just like that cliche, like Mark Cuban says all the time. The only way to succeed in business is you have to know your business more than anybody else. So I think it really comes down to that. You just have to know it better than anyone else. And then you said, do you just stick to the benefits? No, I feel like a more simplified approach, which works most of the time, is really just sticking to the pain points. Not even the benefits. It's just sticking to the pain points. Like we've heard it time and time again, where people are like, man, we saw your ads. And for the first time, I just felt heard. Like, finally, a company who understands what I'm feeling. And it comes down to that. And that's why one of the biggest advantages you can have is, if you're doing marketing, do it in a space you really understand. A space where it's like, it's almost muscle memory to know what problems you need to fix and what their problems are. And that's exactly the kind of setup that we have. If we were to go step into the restaurant industry right now, we'd really struggle. That's just not our game. So I guess it comes down to that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and it makes sense. It makes sense that you should really make sure you're maxing out ad copy and ad relevance before bringing in offers into the equation, because at that point you're eating into LTV to promote sales volume. And so obviously that comes at a much greater cost than investing in that advertising copy.
For sure.
Yeah, this has been really interesting. Where do you go to learn about this stuff? Is it just experience? Are there any books you recommend?
Yes, I used to listen to podcasts a lot, but I actually attribute the most of my education to, one, I did all the free work in the beginning. So I had my shortcut success because I was able to learn from people and spend lots of time with them. But more importantly, I joined a lot of like online marketing masterminds. In the last 5 years, I probably spent 70,000 to 80,000 on those. Just been doing a lot of those, like just online courses and really taking that in. YouTube, a whole bunch every single day. Got to keep that learning going. I see what other people are doing. And then we try it out. And 9 times out of 10, when YouTube hasn't really worked for us, but then the 1 out of 10 like works exceptionally well. So it's always worth the test. And yeah, like just always learning from other people.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So when you're evaluating masterminds, obviously there's lots of different competing groups. What do you look for when you're going to spend money on this sort of education?
Thing I look for is things that I don't understand, but more so that the testimonials and the case studies that they have are from people that are reputable in the marketing world. If a CEO of a really established agency like vouches for them, then that's probably a good indicator. or if like freelancers or really talented people that I personally know have bought in and think it's really good, then that's really good. I've just been in the game for so long that I have this huge circle of marketers. So I pay attention to what kinds of courses and stuff that they're buying into. And if those people really buy in, I'm like, okay, I got to try it. And especially if it's something I don't understand and need to know more of. Okay, if I'm not finding much on YouTube, this course seems like the only route to learn about it. And I'm not going to be behind the curve. So I'm gonna buy this $10,000 program.
I love that. I want to thank you, Jason. This has been such an enlightening conversation. And I admire the clarity with which you're explaining all these concepts. And I really hope that that everybody who's listening learned a lot here. And I want to thank you again for joining.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's really fun.
Awesome. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.